second.
Well, I want to just put out there that I hope this won't be in replacing our reflective listening buddy participation, those of us that are doing that, because it's so valuable to have this experienced pool of people to partner new folks with. So.
Oh, no. I think it's a completely extra. No, that really is, and that's a good point. That's a real service experienced Sangha can offer to the kids, as well as for protection for people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's dangerous to people who don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. And then the other thing that came to me after group last night about the supporting the foundation was, and this conversation this morning has just reinforced this, how important it is for us to get here to the monastery, literally, to the source, and to, I like that better than mothership myself, the source.
I'm Trekkie, you're a Christian.
I never thought of a Christian.
Christians say when they're trying not to say God.
Well, then I'll be on the lookout for that. How are you a Christian? And to send our folks, just our people that were out in the world facilitating, and to the monastery, because what occurred to me around, I was looking at my process around that conversation last night, and you know, basically the long and short of it is, here I have this open heart. I'm writing checks that I would never have written at home, you know, and I'm volunteering for things. So there's just an open-heartedness that, you know, it's hit or miss back there, really. And so to get here, and I guess really one reason I want to put that out is for my own commitment to just get myself and encourage those I'm facilitating to actually get their bodies here.
Yeah. And for a retreat that has a chance of that's long enough to wear people down.
Right.
Wear conditioning down. Yeah. Speaking of which, yes, and then I have something to say to you.
Okay, just a short thing. I'm just going to echo what Rebecca was saying about reflective listening buddies, but I really hope people will not use this group as a substitute and not participate in reflective listening buddies, because that's kind of the supporting the foundation thing.
Yes.
Be one of the people that pairs with newcomers.
Yes.
And I'm really happy though about Jen's suggestion, because when reflective listening buddy started, I really wanted to have it so that experienced people could have experienced people, and you know, I worked with a lot of the people that were real challenging, which is like all kind of stuff. And you know, I just decided it was a great facilitation practice, not to take on what they were.
Yeah, and a practice opportunity, not to.
More experienced partners in those who are placing them down. It's such a great thing.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I really appreciate
it. I hope people continue to see that as service. The working with the new kids, because that's the only, you know, we have people who had three or four partners and they're both inexperienced, and at the end of it, they still don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But one go round with somebody who's really experienced, and they're in much better shape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So another thing that I was looking at this morning is that I want to come to the Southeast and maybe do like a 3-day retreat, something like that, if we can find a spot, and with senior folks, you know, old-timers, and start planning our Southeast Sangha system thing. Okay, so we can be in touch about that. All right. Is now a good time for Penny to read? Mm-hmm. Do you feel your heart?
Yeah. Okay. Gosh, time for that promised update on where we are at the Sangha.
here is what is happening. In addition to the email conversation, we have 4 conference calls to discuss this new direction. On March 21st, at the Palo Alto Zen Center, we will conduct our first ever workshop that will be available through Skype. Imagine that. You can attend the workshop without having to fly to California. We receive lots of questions, ideas, and special offers that we are gathering into categories to be addressed. We are also attempting to send along some of the more creative and inspiring submissions we receive. Recently, we sent out a request for feedback on the low sign-ups for the March 21st workshop, and many of you responded with helpful information. Here is one of those responses. When you asked why I wasn't going to attend the retreat, I sat with the question for quite a while. The only answer that kept arising was, I don't know. I decided to do dominant hand, non-dominant hand journaling and ask myself the question. I've included a bit of the conversation in all its conditioning, revealing glory below. D.H. Why don't you want to attend Sherry's Adversity Opportunity Retreat? N.H. It seems like too much. D.H. What is too much about it? N.H. I'm sick of talking and hearing about adversity. D.H. You're sick of hearing and talking about adversity? M.H. Yes, it makes me scared. I just want to pretend it doesn't exist. D.H. The fear or the adversity? M.H. Both. If I pretend everything is okay, I'm not as scared. Going to the retreat makes it all too real. I'd rather stay home and Skype into reality. 9 minutes later, we received the registration for the workshop. That is the power of practice and the courage of sangha and action. We were all feeling heartened until we got the numbers. We now have about 5% of our mailing list, 234 people, making a monthly financial contribution to keep the doors open. We are aware that there are people on the mailing list who do not consider themselves part of sangha. And as with the person in the email above,
that was interesting,
isn't it? Yeah. And as with the person in the email above, we are wondering if perhaps there are a lot of people out there trying to avoid the whole mess, state of the world, collapsed economy, voices in the head. By taking the "if I pretend everything is okay, I'm not scared" approach, it would help us to know what's going on. Looking at the numbers, we wonder: do so few people value the practice? Are people simply believing the voices of deprivation and not enough? Is everyone depending on everyone else to keep the doors open? Will folks donate when they get around to it? Is fear guiding people's decisions? If we have more information about why our mailing list is so large, but the number of monthly donations is so small, we would try to offer assistance. We wouldn't try to make you see the error of your ways. That's not how we think, not our modus operandi. We would do what we always do, help you choose freedom if you ask us to. Which brings us to our next offering. What the voices are saying now. A workshop via conference call, that is joining the call is simple and easy, with Dave McKay, senior monk, March 25th, April 1st, April 5th, Wednesday evening, 5:30 to 6:30 Pacific, 8:30 to 9:50 Eastern, 7:30 to 8:50 Central, 6:30 to 7:50 Mountain. Cost, whatever feels right for you at this time. In parentheses, monthly donors are already covered. Register, link. If you would like to participate, please register and make your donation. You will receive a confirmation email with 1, the conference call, calling number, and 2, the exercise for the first class.
See, Jack, Cameron?
I think it's beautiful.
Okay.
Didn't feel too hit him over the head, or?
It felt so generous and open and inviting, really. It was nothing like, you know, you mean bad people aren't revealing. It's more like it was very much upon a process and what can we do to facilitate knowing more about what's going on. I thought it was very, I mean, it's so much so it makes me feel emotional.
Okay. Thank you. Please. I thought it was brilliant. The dominant hand and the non-dominant hand do not
to me, that just like speaks to every single person who's doing that back and forth and facilitating. I mean, understanding what reflective listening is, it just spoke to everything. And so I'm unclear if this is feedback or a better idea. One of the things that jumped out in the list of after the conversation of is it the voices in the head, are we listening to voices in the head, or adverse, something like, do we not want to talk about the state of the world, the voices in the head? I would like to hear voices in the head first. That's, I think, the one that people don't think about as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, oh, I was thinking, I don't want to hear this first, and then I will want to talk about the world or the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that felt like the more important one.
Okay.
So,
okay. Good. Thank you. Yeah, I'm just going to go around the room
here. Rebecca? I loved it. I loved the questions. To me, it was just very heart-opening. There was a moment when you said we were feeling heartened until we got the numbers. I thought you meant the numbers for the Palo Alto thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So to
keep the doors open campaign.
Yeah, and then there was another numbers a little later, a couple of sentences later, I think, that could use the proper pronoun, whatever numbers you're talking about, to just mean that.
Okay.
All right,
good.
Sure, do you want me to
describe
or you got it?
Oh, yeah. If you would, that'd be great. Do you want this?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, good. Tracy?
You know, and it's, I don't know why I keep thinking about this, but it popped in my mind when you said when we read the numbers, and it was 234 people, and what my mind went to is, like, it would be so curious to hear, like, how many people listen to the podcast. Like, well, we were kind of disheartened because only 200 people, and yet we're getting 600 people that supply the podcast.
That's really interesting.
Because I always thought it's amazing the podcasts are free. You know, I kept thinking there should be, like, a yearly subscription for those.
Mm-hmm.
But even to make that kind of interesting, huh, 234 people when, you know.
That is a really good point. I'm curious about that myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. Good. Yeah, so go ahead.
Rebecca touched on it, but, you know, I was wondering why we had to wait for our hearts to close down a bit, because I found it a very
Oh, good.
And,
well, sometimes, you know, when your heart's really open, anybody can say anything you like those people, you know, they just come in from work and the kids are screaming at them and they're hungry and what else people want?
I just don't want to doubt, you know, we'll do what we've always done, support you towards freedom. You know,
good.
Just great.
Okay, good, good.
Well, I just want to say the same thing. I mean, it was brilliant. And just that same thing, the way that it expresses concern for all, you know, for us, the mothership, you know, as well as for anybody reading it, and it's just I think it is an expression of the integrity of our practice.
Good. That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah.
You know, because as we keep saying to people, you know, we technically don't need to do this.
Right.
There, you know, there are a lot of other things that we could be doing besides being in spiritual community with people all over the world. So we just need to know, you know, it's like if you don't need us, then we'll pursue other things. But if you do, we need to know that, and then we need to be in a relationship.
And you're more right here.
Yeah.
And I had that same, took me a minute to catch up from the
numbers
and the power up of the GS.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
That piece of reiterating why we're asking about the donations, the piece where it was reassuring to hear, you know, this isn't about having you do something. Just let us know what's going on.
Yeah.
That would be really reassuring to people coming home and probably like, they just want more money.
Right.
So that was a really effective part too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and we have heard from some people that, you know, that they're really embarrassed by the amount of money they feel like they can send in. And
well, that's what conditioning told me too. I'm not real pet. It's a lot for me. So shut up.
You can come up with more.
Can we
call
Karen? I love that. That you present a model of how people might do it. Their own stuff, and that and I also, what I appreciate about it is it's just simply when you're showing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it truly is. This is our present moment. This is where we all are.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any insight for us into why we're here?
Yeah.
I just thought it was just, I mean, there's no conditioning. It's just the reality.
Great. You know, the kind of thing that makes me a religious type is the fact that, you know, I was trying to write this thing. Person sends this and it happens like that. Oh, in fact, can you imagine that without that?
Yeah.
You know, it's just such a, it's so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she then signed up 9 minutes later, you know, it's just this week.
And even one step further, there are probably 100 of those in the inbox that I have yet to even look at.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, for some reason, I clicked on that one.
Was there something else there?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. I really like it too, and I like that you put that in there about the person who was practicing that way, because it felt like going to a law firm practice, just in a way to I don't know why I'm pushing a letter. I don't know why I'm not pushing a letter.
That's true. I mean, there might be people out there, you know, as soon as we send this out, who are going,
you have your autonomy decision, you have this whole thing going on, and when something brings you back to practice, you know, it shows you the practice of it,
mm-hmm.
take one, turn the light on.
Yeah.
It offers something.
Great. Well, it'll be all in your inboxes when you get home. That's good. I'll make those changes about the numbers. And good. Thank you very much. That's very helpful. Danny.
I'll repeat the word that's been already. I thought it was brilliant. I had the same experience of like the transition from Palo Alto. And I'm also wondering how many people who received this are familiar with dominant, non-dominant writing.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, when I gave that out on the radio show last week as a homework assignment to somebody, and that's about how I explain it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let your dominant hand ask a question and then let your non-dominant hand answer. So I bet they can, you know, figure it out even if they don't really get it. You know, if they just did what she did, you know, why don't you want to go? Melinda.
Well, I think it's terrific and was just sort of blown open when you got to the 9 minutes later.
Uh-huh.
That was just so moving. And the workshop he's going to be doing have a title, because I realized that section is one that I
what the voices are saying now.
Yeah, it's when you visually see it, it's laid out quite, you know, with the titles and quotes, and then it's got all of that. And then I think it was just because I was so caught up in what came before that I couldn't quite absorb what was being offered in that.
Yeah.
In the 3 weeks. Yeah.
Claire.
I thought it was brilliant. I mean, it's great. And I noticed there is a part of me that's wondering, from the contributions that have been made from the Trinitarian people, how are we doing with regard to keeping the doors open? I don't know if that's from a conditioning place or if that's relevant information.
How we're doing?
Yeah.
Dismally.
So that would be useful, I think, too.
Yeah, that will probably be in the next one. That amount of money actually comes to about $10,000. I think it's about $11,000 for Africa, Living Compassion, and the Zen Center.
Mm-hmm.
it costs us about $30,000 a month. So we're bringing in 11 and it costs us about 30. So we're going down the ship, the mothership is taking back. And ironically, you know, if we take out the people who are on the mailing list who are not, you know, really, if we dropped it down to 4,000 people, and all of those 4,000 people gave $5, we'd be silent. Because we could pick up another $10,000 a month doing something.
I think that's the secret.
Yeah. And maybe just lay it out that clearly. Yeah.
Because if I have that information, you know, I'd want to up my contribution $5. If that was going to be really what's needed. So that would be some information for me down the line.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Jen, would you make a note on there? Because that's what we'll put out next time. The 234 people is just so startling to me. it's just truly startling. Mm-hmm. And that felt like a good focus for this one. That 5% of the people are responding, because we did do that palm juice. And I don't want to spend all of our time on this, just for you to know, because we have other things. You're up in all of the meeting us today, and we have other things that we need to go over. But, we did do that palm juice thing. And to me, this is it's like a carryover of that. I'm sure everybody else thinks everybody else is giving. Mm-hmm. I can only guess that's the case, because that's a lot of people not to be contributing anything. Mm-hmm. Seems like to me. Jen, did you have...
I had kind of a similar wondering about the 234. I love the email in the place that I'm in now, but trying to channel the closed down place, I imagine that I could go to, 234 people are doing something, that must be good enough. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious about, what does that actually mean? So that conversation was helpful. And the other thing that, I don't know where this is coming from, but the freedom, to me, maybe it's my conditioning or something, but sometimes it channels like freedom fries or something. I know, liberation and freedom, but that seems maybe lofty or hard to attach to sometimes when I'm rushing around in the world. So I wondered about adding freedom, happiness, and joy, or something that seems a little more like when I'm going around in a crazy day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do people?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Where's
that for? Like we always do offer and freedom.
Yeah.
Offer
freedom.
Okay, come on.
Okay, I need to check in and see what else, because we're running out of time, and I want to make sure that when people leave here, you're as ready to leave as you can be.
The description of this group that we're going to be doing?
Oh, good.
Be great.
Okay. That's what you got. Dave.
Duffy's the packet. The hall guidelines, the different things that we can work on to be available to the rest of the groups.
Great.
And I think that could happen here or not here.
Well, it seems to me like if we just read through those, and did that, add on this, that, or something else, then it would be a quick send out to people, a quick email when people got home, which might make it easy, rather than getting into an email back and forth thing. Do other people think so? Yeah, Danny.
I had a thought about this morning, and didn't know whether Bell has better ideas, but what arose was having kind of a two-part document that could be where the two parts don't have to go together. One is meditation hall guidelines, which pretty closely track the ones for this room, that would be used for with established sitting groups. And then there would be a second part, I don't know what it would be called, group guidelines, and that would go, and for established sitting groups, that would go along with the meditation guidelines, but for the newer groups that don't actually sit formally, they would just have that path.
Yeah, we could, or in the practice of full disclosure, we could let people know what the whole story is. In other words, if you're sitting, if you're involved with a group and you just kind of sit quietly for 10 minutes at the beginning and at the end of what you do, and then you're going to come to the monastery, this is how the formal practice works. So I could see it either way.
But one of the thoughts behind that was, for people who are coming for the first time, not to be overwhelmed by this huge list of guidelines where you've got all together both group guidelines and...
Well, you know what we might do is leave them in one document but separate them.
Yes.
So at the bottom is meditation hall etiquette. And then all of those things that fall under that would really just apply here, or if we're taking a retreat on the road, and then the things that would apply to any workshop or group or that sort of thing would be first. Mm-hmm. That might be a good compromise. Yeah. Okay, so... can you read those to us, Dave, with that in mind, if we were going to format it that way?
If I follow what we were just talking about, because I'm not sure I did, I think it's broken into those pieces. We've got the meditation hall guidelines that we had last night that we talked about.
How about you lay those on it?
Okay. Let me tell you what all the pieces are so you know as I'm doing it. And we've actually, there's another version of that we found, which... We can compare and make sure. I think the one we read last night is better, but this other one might have some, just to make sure that all these points are covered in the first one. You've got the guidelines for seating coordinators, which I can read in a second. You've got this thing too. It's please make big. Please make every effort to align the science of the meditation hall, refrain from mouthing, breathing, nose blowing, rest and close, breathing less than absolutely necessary. This is just kind of some post that people can see that when they come to the group. And then we've got the meditation hall etiquette, which is the bottom of the sitting still thing without the meditation hall guidelines at the top. And so it's got how to interleave the hall and some tips about sitting posture. And so those are the elements plus the recitations that we do. So the...
Let me ask you about that before we go on. What do people think about introducing people to the recitation? Not the
day of
the recollection. The recitation.
We're here to confess. Yeah, I do it at the sitting group. And people will sometimes say it or not, but they have it in front of them.
Uh-huh. Chris?
I like it a lot just because it states a real clear intention.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I would encourage people to lean towards always saying that, simply because it does that. You know, it's had profound effect on an awful lot of people, simply because it's just that, here I am, I'm suffering. What am I choosing over ending suffering?
And then, too, it seems to assist with the folks who are just not meant to be there. They're just not going to go on. So they're gone in a real hurry.
And it's fine, isn't it? It really is. Yeah, because they can hang around for 6 months and make everybody thoroughly miserable before they leave.
I know there's, with our orientation, we used to just knock myself out, kind of trying to make it people welcome and, all that kind of, and eventually just got to the point of, that's really silly. Just a minimum amount of information to get people welcome and into the program, and then let it go from there.
That can sound jaded, but it's also just flat out intelligent. You're not going to, as my teacher used to say, you're not going to get somebody to do this who doesn't want to, and you won't be able to stop somebody who does.
Right.
So, yeah, and we want the ones who do. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to cover orientation stuff. It just occurred to me, one of the things, I don't know our website. Is that, where are people introduced to that? That it exists. And I was embarrassed because a close friend of mine who's been coming to law didn't even know.
I didn't know we had a website.
And I had done her orientation. I thought, oh my gosh, is that part of it? And if it's not, I wouldn't.
So it definitely should be on every printed piece of paper that we have.
Yeah, it occurred to me too. We talked about this a little last night. That another thing we might need to have is all the things to cover in orientation, because that actually doesn't exist here. So that could be a big part.
Yeah, I was thinking too. Are the donations just how we ask for donations? Maybe having one of those in like that big print, so we can bring a basket and just put it there, so everyone has the same exact verbiage for what it says for donation. So if we get a packet, like in the beginning, kind of run the orientation, okay, here's all your things, where you're posting them. So if I were to come to group, if I were to go to someone, you know, Philadelphia group, we'd all position the same.
And it'll all be electronic, so then you can print out whatever you need. And I really like the thing that Deb was saying that she's encouraged us to do, which is to send out that electronic thing afterwards. You know, along what Chris was saying, you could be set up so if somebody calls and says they want to come for orientation, you send them the guidelines and that sort of thing ahead of time. And then when, you know, if they don't show up, well, I don't know. People might feel that's off-putting, but yeah.
Well, what they would miss then is the experience of the presence of the facilitator. It feels like it could make a difference in what they see in the guidelines.
So then send it to them after they've been there. Get their email address and send it to them after they've been there. Yeah.
Is that helpful? I would think it just the whole. It's helpful for Keep It Simple to have people buy books from Keep It Simple. I'm kind of off on a side note, but thinking about paper, like to have a you know, ordering sheet to buy books, and even do like Amazon's doing, if you spend $25, shipping is free. I mean, if it's, you know, just as a cost generating thing.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, when we send them, you know, one of the things, if you have a regular sitting group, you can have books that you have there with you when people come in, like the Palo Alto Zen Center has, or we have them downtown, or I don't know who else has them, but
do you guys have books?
Yeah. So that's a possibility. And then people actually take the books and read them and bring them back and that sort of thing. But then that information about how to get books should definitely be a part of. Yeah. I don't know that we can do the, you know, buy so much, get free shipping thing, but, you know, Amazon is, you know, it's one of those, it's just so huge that they, you know, they can make 10 cents off of every product and still make millions. But we can look into it. You know, we do get a good deal on our books.
will the sitting still piece be included in that, or could it be included in that packet?
I would think so.
To hand out, or
yeah, it's in the guest.
It's in the guest.
I mean, when I say the packet, I mean our packet that we're going to be getting electronically.
You know what I would like? I would like for us to get a good layout on this, and then I'm hoping that we get a volunteer to take all this stuff and put it together and do the editing and the formatting and all of that, and then send it back for feedback.
Me too.
How about you?
Jen's on it.
I can even send some of these hard copies of my notes for Jen. Do you think that would be a good idea?
Yep.
Great.
Okay.
Ready for me?
Yeah, ready for you.
Okay, so meditation hall guidelines. This is what we did last night. How about, should I just hit the points?
Sure.
Okay, so the first one is about please respect the privileged environment. And a lot of the stuff that we talked about last night that was not on here is our elements of the privileged environment, like no touching, no crosstalk, no side conversations, custody of the eyes, confidentiality.
Do we have a good wife anywhere on privileged environment? A good sentence or two that says what it is?
Sure.
We have a write-up, but it needs to be, it's one that we all realize recently needs to be very studio.
It needs to be gone over?
Yeah. It's a lot more than a sentence or two.
Yeah,
much to that. It needs to be succinct and current and, yeah.
I can't remember what it is, but, you know, when we did the Wednesday pages, when we made a rough summary of all those things, privileged environment is one of them.
Oh.
She read it. I don't remember exactly how it worded.
Okay.
That would be really helpful.
Yeah. Well, it's on the website is what she's saying, right?
Yeah, and on the one thing page, it's under Wakely Manifest.
So if you want to make a little note there, Jen can go look that up and then incorporate it, and we'll see if it's what we want to use.
All right. That could be great. So I was thinking we could expand this paragraph to explain what privileged environment is and include all of these points.
Yeah.
That will be the first thing that they get when they see this paper. And then the other points are...
We don't have a computer in here, do we?
No, we certainly...
How fast could you get one, Jen, and look that up? Because, boy, that would be handy.
Oh, look, yeah, get on the web.
Yeah. Pretty fast?
Yes.
So I'll get you.
Yeah.
Okay. So second point is to arrive at BCA 5 minutes before and to wait outside if you don't make it. Next point is turn off your cell phones and watches. Next, do not wear a scent or perfumes. Next is modest clothing.
Do you need to say beeping watches? Understand that?
Yeah, people.
Oh, is it beeping?
Well, no, it's fine, but turn off watches. You know, I go,
you must have watched. Watch.
Or anything that makes noise.
Yeah.
Age yourself, all that.
Yeah, you turn off anything on your,
your
hearing aids.
Now, the next point is to sit on a cushion or bench where you find it and how to exchange out of the extras pile. Each time you leave the hall, remove all personal items. Please do not lie down in the hall at any time. Avoid clearing a throat, sneezing, coughing.
Now, that one, now this is the one, this is for the meditation hall, right? But that one should, I mean, all of those need to be for any group, right?
Oh, yeah, I should be, even if it's not a phone seeker.
Yeah, because you still don't want people lying down.
Yeah, totally. And then the very last one is maintaining the privileged environment in the group discussion. And this one, I think, needs a little bit of work, too. I actually don't think it says, oh, yeah, it does say to, it needs more clear language around being acknowledged by the facilitator, I think, and maybe, just I think this one needs a little bit more, to be more clear.
What does it say?
So please maintain a privileged environment during group discussion. If you would like to contribute to the discussion, signal the facilitator and wait to be acknowledged. Please refer your remarks only to the facilitator. Please do not use profane language. Please speak only in terms of your own experience, refraining from offering advice, etc. Actually, that's not so bad, really.
Yeah. Right. No side conversations. No crosstalk.
How about, that's a good point, yeah. A couple of these are, don't, that we talked about last night, don't belong in the first paragraph, they belong in that paragraph, because they're about group discussions. Mm-hmm. Confidentiality actually might belong there too. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, and then the only other point that we mentioned last night that I haven't mentioned again now is to stay for the duration of the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Please plan to arrive on time and stay. Please plan not to leave early. Please plan to.
Please plan to arrive and stay for the duration of the. Arrive on time and stay for the duration of the event. You could say,
actually, what I just was thinking, it was probably more for if we do a workshop, but something about maintaining the silence at all times, so even if there's a break or a But if it's just a group where you know you're there and then you leave.
Yeah, but in that's future, probably something that we want to talk over, you know, so that the facilitator has all that language around taking advantage of being by yourself. I'm going to ask Claire and then I'll be right back.
I wonder if it would help to outline to them, stay in the meditation hall throughout the meditation so that people can go up and go to the bathroom in the meditation.
Oh.
Or whether that would be covered in the orientation or whether it's maybe helpful to have it said and also written down.
That is important. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't say it, then especially if somebody starts coughing or feels like they're going to sneeze or that sort of thing, they're gonna get up and leave. That's going to be tricky language.
You said a good one for it, though. At one point, you said something like, you know, at the beginning, as a facilitator, if you feel like you're going to need to get up and leave, you know, you might want to check in if it's a good time to leave or not, because...
Right, but this one, for if you start coughing or choking or have to go to the bathroom or something, or during meditation. Yeah.
One thing I've run into is, you know, when you say arrive 5 minutes early or then you sit outside, I've got a person who is coming late too many times. You know, it's like by saying what to do if you're late, if you're saying it's okay to be late. So how do you get the point across that, you know, like 2 times a year if you have an emergency in your life?
Yeah, well, I think that's something the facilitator needs to address.
I
don't know that we can put it formally, but the facilitator needs to.
Right.
You know, being late is not an opportunity not to meditate. So from now on, if you're going to be late, please just plan on coming to the next sitting.
Right.
Yeah.
And we can say it, you know, when we say participate in everything.
Yeah. But when somebody starts a habit like that, it's like, okay, just wear deodorant. So I don't have to address that. The bad moments I've had, I can't tell you. I could tell you horror stories over the years. I could tell you why we don't wear shorts. Oh. I never saw a fellow in such short shorts. Or so much of a fellow.
Addressing that as orientation, you can. You know, you can come and meditate, and if you have to then leave, which is what we said. But you cannot come to the group without the meditation. And, you know, about coming to the meditation first. And so that helps with the being late business. And, you know, and then, you know, if you're late, the door's locked and there's signs out.
I just think Maria is stuck with having to
address it with that person because, you know, she sits outside the meditation hall, but then she said it 3 times.
It doesn't support her.
Right.
In her practice. You need to either arrive on time or just come in outside. Yeah.
Something just about distractions, like no bringing snacks and food and drink and tea and.
Yes, please only bring water, container of water into the group. Yeah. You know, it's amazing that you have all this stuff, but if you don't, you know, there's the person that drives up the same carrot.
And knitting seems to be.
You know, we haven't had that for a while, but that was intense. Yeah. And you know, you might even we might need to, as facilitators, address note taking. Because there will be times when you want people that would be appropriate, but it's not all the time.
About the getting up during meditation, I believe I have something that has verbiage that says something like, please remain still in silence for the duration of the sitting period. I'm sure I didn't make that up. I'm sure it's on something.
Yeah. And again, it's probably something that the facilitator is going to have to address. Because the person who thinks they're going to throw up, I can promise you, whatever the guidelines are, they're going to get up and leave. And then you're going to have to address that as a training issue. Do you know how to address it?
Mm-hmm.
It's something along the lines of, everything that happens to us is an opportunity to pay attention. Probably, if you cough and choke, you will make noise in the hall. That will give everyone else something to practice with. But if you stay with it and just keep paying attention, stay with it, keep paying attention, you will notice a lot. If you get up and leave the hall every time you cough or choke or sneeze, then pretty soon you will be leaving every meditation for some sort of reason. So if you don't indulge it, it will go away.
And it's true. It's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm. Is throwing up in that category?
Yes. Jan, would you like to speak to that at all? Do you remember that?
I wasn't going to throw up.
Yes, you were going to. You were going to pass out.
I was going to pass out.
Yeah, you were going to pass out. Jan was pregnant.
Yeah.
And
I don't even remember being pregnant.
You were pregnant. Maybe it wasn't you. It was somebody else who was pregnant, though, who thought that she was going to throw up.
Well, I thought that someone else pregnant.
Yeah.
The thing that was great, the guidance for it had been really clear and was terrifically helpful.
Yeah.
Because it was you stay seated and the whole thing. But the bottom line is you stay with yourself in the most compassionate way. And I had to finally go down because I it was that whole thing. So, and I went down, and then the opportunity that ended up providing everybody else.
Yes.
But I stayed in that.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And you learned a lot about.
We all did.
Yeah. We all did. Yeah. So, yeah.
We had not too long ago, we threw up in the middle of the meditation and caught it in the t-shirt and made it through the sit.
That is courage. I can remember sitting in meditation at just the, with the running around. But it's amazing how, again, when you don't indulge it stops. If you do indulge it will just get worse and worse and worse. It's a secret of Zen.
You know, something that just occurred to me is that it doesn't, in my case, it didn't stop, but the opportunity was just endless.
And what stops is that you no longer have that relationship with it. Eventually, you get to a point where that's not going on with you any longer, and, you go on with your life. But the person who coughs, they have coughing attacks, and they have to leave the hall for coughing attacks. I promise you, over the years, there have been a ton of those. They don't leave the hall, and they stop coughing during meditation. It's just